If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publishers' new book, Answering Mormon's Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormon's Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Keith Walker. Keith Walker is the director of Evidence Ministries down in San Antonio, Texas. If you'd like to see what they are doing down there, they can go to your website, Keith, evidenceministries.org, and I'm sure he would love to converse with you if you have any questions. If you're in that area, do you do trainings down there on a regular basis?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Every 2 weeks, we have a group that meets at our church. We go to Community Bible Church, and we call our group Countering the Cults with Evidence Ministries. Okay. It's on the second and fourth Thursday of every month.
Okay, so if somebody is interested in attending that, they can contact you through email.
Yep, evidenceministries.org. You can just contact us there.
The email is on that site, I'm sure, right. So no problem. Great. We have been discussing approaches that we can use when we're talking with our LDS friends, acquaintances, loved ones, relatives, whoever it may be. What are some good things that we can bring up that hopefully will keep the conversation going in what we are very conscious of, and what I mean by that, about in a very least threatening manner? We don't want to come across as threatening. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we hope our questions are challenging. Some Mormons interpret challenging with threatening. Well, that's really their problem, not ours. But still, I think we need to be ever conscious of sharing our faith in a way that the person actually wants to listen to what we have to say. And hopefully they will want what we have.
Right.
And so we're talking about this approach that has been termed the impossible gospel, which of course we admit is an oxymoron. If it's impossible to get the gospel, then there certainly is no good news in that particular type of quote unquote gospel. We're looking at some passages, primarily from the Mormon Standard Works. So far, you've quoted the Book of Mormon.
Right.
Moroni 10:32 and 2 Nephi 25:23. How are these verses used and understood by the Mormon leadership? Notice I said, by the Mormon leadership. I did not say by your average Mormon.
Right.
Why is that important? There's a lot of folklore out there among Latter-day Saints. Living here in Utah, I can tell you I have heard enough Mormon folklore to write books on Mormon folklore. But that is not Mormonism. We want to know what the leaders have said about these things, because it's the leadership, the First Presidency primarily. They are the group of men who are given the authority to interpret and disseminate doctrine. They are there to interpret these things. If it doesn't come from the First Presidency or the Council of the Twelve, you could probably throw some 70s in there, but if a 70 comes off the reservation on something, it's not too difficult for a Mormon to kind of throw that away. But when, right. If it comes from the Quorum of the Twelve or the First Presidency, that's as good as gold for most Mormons. So we want to stick with quotations from men that they are expected to respect. And so that's why we're using this approach.
Well, yesterday we talked about a couple of verses, Moroni 10:32 and 2 Nephi 25:23. I'd like to hit on another one that we like to talk with Mormons about, and that's Alma 11:37. Mm-hmm. And I'll read that in a second, but first what I want to do is I want to read a quotation by Theodore M. Burton from 1972, April Conference Edition. His talk is titled Salvation and Exaltation. Here's his explanation. Exaltation comes as a gift from God, dependent upon my obedience to God's law. I cannot be exalted in my sins, but must work until I overcome them.
Oh, wow.
Alma, the prophet, explained this most clearly, as he said of God. Now he's going to quote Alma 11:37. And I say unto you again that he cannot save them in their sins, for I cannot deny his word. And he hath said that no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, how can ye be saved except ye inherit the kingdom of heaven? Therefore, ye cannot be saved in your sins. Now that phrase, in your sins, is often contrasted with the phrase, from your sins. And what they mean by in your sins is if you are in an unrepentant condition. And unless you have been completely obedient, as he said, I must work to overcome my sins. Ask a common sense question. What would it look like if you overcame your sins? Are you still sinning? Obviously not. If you overcome your sins, what condition would you call that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect condition. You are being perfect because you are no longer sinning. And in fact, I've actually told Mormons in the past, you keep talking about repenting. Would you just stop repenting and keep the commandments?
Exactly.
Because if you're keeping the commandments, there is no need to repent. And that's what Theodore exactly. M. Burton is getting at, is he's talking about you can't be saved in your sins. You can only be saved from your sins. And I ask people all the time, what's the opposite of in? Out. So if I can't be saved while I'm in my sins, then I have to be out of my sins before I can be saved. And I've often had Mormons say, well, if I can do that, why do I need Jesus? And I say, you know, that is a great question. And if my church taught that, I would be asking more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, this contrast is so important in and from.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you really think a guy like Theodore Burton thinks that he has accomplished what he just told the membership in the LDS church to do? Do you think he's actually done that? What I mean by that is when I read, for instance, The Miracle of Forgiveness, I cannot help but ask myself as I'm reading that horrible little book, did Spencer Kimball really think he accomplished what he's expecting of the membership in his own church?
I would think not.
Did Spencer Kimball really believe that he had somehow gotten the very urge to sin cleared out of his life? Because that's what he tells people to do in that book. And if he's expecting the people in the book to do that, I would hope that he thinks, or he has accomplished at least, those requirements in his own personal life.
Right.
But you and I both know there's no way.
Well, I've asked Mormons this all the time. If the system works, and this system of Mormonism, the way that I can be forgiven, if this system works, then I must be able to work the system. I've got to be able to do it. But if you can't do it, and I can't do it, and you don't know anybody who has done it, then the system must not work. In fact, I used a line that I heard you use before. In fact, I made a t-shirt out of it last year. I've never known a Mormon who knows they're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this kid come up to me and say, I know a Mormon who's been forgiven. And I said, who's that? He said, Jesus. Jesus is a Mormon and he's been forgiven.
Well, Keith, okay, let me just stop. If Jesus was a good Mormon, then he certainly wasn't wearing his garments when that statue of him was made and put that Christus statue in the visitor center. If you look at what he's wearing, he's not wearing garments.
I went a different direction.
He was not a good Mormon in that area.
I said, of what was he forgiven?
Right.
And he paused for a little bit and he says, that's a good point. So I wasn't going to argue with him on whether or not Jesus was a Mormon. I was going to say, you don't know a Mormon who's never been forgiven, because even if Jesus was a Mormon, he wasn't forgiven for anything, because there was nothing for which he needed to repent.
And again, what you just did is what we've been talking about for the past several days, asking questions.
Right.
Having the Mormon respond to you based on the question you asked him. And then from his answer, it kind of leads you in, what can the next question be to further this conversation?
Well, D&C 58:43 is another verse that speaks specifically of repentance and how we can know. Vaughn J. Featherstone in October 1980, for one to be forgiven of sin, the Lord requires that he come unto him, mourn over his sins, forsake the sins, be teachable, forgive others, and confess. Then he quotes D&C 58:43. By this you may know if a man repenteth of his sins, behold, he will confess them and forsake them. Now here's his commentary on that. Actual forgiveness cannot take place until true repentance has preceded it. So I have to truly repent before I can be forgiven. And I ask this question all the time to Mormon. Do you have to repent? And they say, well, yes. And I say, well, that means if you've got to repent, and repent means that you forsake all sins, then you have to forsake all sins before you can be forgiven. And they say, well, no, then I can just repent. And I said, well, no. I'm talking about true repentance. And then they look at me like, oh, we're talking about true repentance. Like, there's a difference between repentance and true repentance. Why do I have to qualify that?
Right.
If we're talking about true repentance, and it equates to confessing and forsaking my sin before I can be forgiven, he says true repentance precedes. It has to come before I'm forgiven.
Asking them about whether or not they have the assurance that they have truly repented, because this true repentance involves the confessing of sins. In fact, there's actually like six steps in repentance.
Right.
But you raise an excellent point. If a Mormon is really doing all that they are supposed to be doing, the one thing they shouldn't be doing is repenting.
Right.
Because only people who have transgressed the law, have transgressed a commandment, are the ones who need to repent of doing that. And yet, I find in my conversations with many Latter-day Saints that they almost want to brag about the fact that they repent. And I can understand why they say it like that. Mm-hmm. It comes off kind of odd to us as evangelicals, but I think what they're trying to impress us with is that they are cognizant of their shortcomings.
Right.
And so I repent often, which shows that they are very conscious of their sins. That's not a bad thing.
Right.
That's not a bad thing, and I would never put them down for that. That's for sure. But as you've brought out, if the goal is to overcome the sin, and the way their leaders have defined overcoming the sin, there should be no need for them to be repenting.
Well, Richard G. Scott, in April 1995, Finding Forgiveness, he says, remember, but to the soul who sinneth shall the former sins return. Joseph Smith declared, repentance is a thing that cannot be trifled with every day. Daily transgression and daily repentance is not pleasing in the sight of God.
So we have to ask our LDS listeners, how pleasing are you to God?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. On Saturday, November 16th, Mormonism Research Ministries Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be signing their book at the Lifeway Christian Store in Murray from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Published by Kriegel Publishers, Answering Mormons Questions tackles 36 of the most common questions asked by Latter-day Saints. Each chapter in the book provides practical explanations about how you can respond to your Mormon friend with gentleness and respect. In addition, a number of useful tools are included, such as a glossary of dozens of LDS terms and their Mormon definitions, as well as evangelism tips at the end of each of the chapters. Answering Mormons' Questions will surely help you in your tactics in sharing your Christian faith. And their book, Mormonism 101, will also be available. Lifeway Christian Store is located at 6336 South State Street in Murray. Easy to get to, easy to find. And again, that's happening on Saturday, November 16th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Lifeway Christian Store in Murray. As always, Bill and Eric look forward to meeting you. Thank you.